to receive the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In other words, he will be promoted to the kingdom of God. So what do you have to do to be promoted to the kingdom of God? Stay alive. Just stay alive in devotional service. The word susamikshamana indicates that a devotee earnestly awaits the mercy of the Supreme Lord, even while suffering the painful effects of previous sinful activities. Lord Krishna explains in the Bhagavad Gita that a devotee who fully surrenders unto him is no longer liable to suffer the reactions of his previous karma. What verse does he say that in? How about sarvadharmam parityaja mamekam sharanam braja ahantang sarva pape bhyo mokshay shami masuchaha. Just surrender unto me, I'll deliver you from all sinful reactions. Don't worry, don't fear, don't hesitate. Masuchaha, he says. Just don't worry. However, because in his mind a devotee may still maintain the remnants of his previous sinful mentality, the Lord removes the last vestiges of the enjoying spirit by giving his devotee punishments that may sometimes resemble sinful reactions. The purpose of the entire creation of God is to rectify the living entity's tendency to enjoy without the Lord. And therefore, the particular punishment given for a sinful activity is specially designed to curtail the mentality that produced the activity. Although a devotee has surrendered to the Lord's devotional service until he is completely perfect in Krishna consciousness, he may maintain a slight inclination to enjoy the falseness of this world. The Lord therefore creates a particular situation to eradicate this remaining enjoying spirit. This unhappiness suffered by a sincere devotee is not technically a karmic reaction. It is rather the Lord's special mercy for inducing his devotee to completely let go of the material world and return home back to Godhead. A sincere devotee earnestly desires to go back to the Lord's abode. Therefore, he willingly accepts the Lord's merciful punishment and continues offering respects and obeisances to the Lord with his heart, words, and body. Such a bona fide servant of the Lord, considering all hardship a small price to pay for gaining the personal association of the Lord, certainly becomes a legitimate son of God, as indicated here by the words, Daya Bhak. Just as one cannot approach the sun without becoming fire, one cannot approach the Supreme Pure, Lord Krishna, without undergoing a rigid purificatory process, which may appear like suffering, but which is, in fact, a curative treatment administered by the personal hand of the Lord. Any burning question or comment? Yes, Rasiko? We have two mics.
So, I was just meditating on that verse that we started with, the 7:15, about those who are grossly foolish do not surrender to Krishna. So it seems as if, and also like Krishna is saying that you simply, like in the verse you were reading, you're saying that just stay alive by following the regulative principles of devotional service, and that it seems as if that practice is painful, but it's actually a regimented curative, practice. So there's that pain that comes from when you're not steady on that path. So how to approach that experience with a favorable attitude that can help keep one steady, as opposed to becoming averse towards that.
I'll read you Prabhupada's answer to that question. Look in the Bhagavad Gita, 3rd chapter, 31st verse, page 177. He's asking the question that I've taken to devotional service, I'm sincerely trying, but maybe I can't completely follow, I can't be steady, and how do I maintain the proper mentality in that case? Did I understand you correctly? Something like that. And how do you get steady from there? Okay, so it's two parts. What should be my mentality? I've taken to devotional service. I'm sincere, but I still can't follow properly. And the second part is, how do I become steady? Okay? All right. Here's Prabhupada's answer to the first question. Ye me matam idam nityam anutishtanti manavaha shadavanto nasuyanto munchante te pikarma bihi. Translation. Those persons who execute their duties according to my injunctions and who follow this teaching faithfully without envy become free from the bondage of fruitive actions. Purport. The injunction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Krishna is the essence of all Vedic wisdom and therefore is eternally true without exception. As the Vedas are eternal, so this truth of Krishna consciousness is also eternal. One should have firm faith in this injunction without envying the Lord. There are many philosophers who write comments on the Bhagavad Gita, but who have no faith in Krishna. They will never be liberated from the bondage of fruitive action. But an ordinary man with firm faith in the eternal injunctions of the Lord, even though unable to execute such orders, becomes liberated from the bondage of the law of karma. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. I'll repeat the last part. In the beginning of Krishna consciousness, one may not fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord. But because one is not resentful of this principle and works sincerely without consideration of defeat and hopelessness, he will surely be promoted to the stage of pure Krishna consciousness. Shrinvanti Gayanti Granantya Sarava. So Queen Kunti mentioned in her prayers that one who hears, chants, remembers, or appreciates others doing so surely sees the lotus feet of the Lord. So here, this statement that if you, in the beginning, one can't fully discharge the injunctions of the Lord, but if such a person is not resentful of the principle and just goes on without consideration of defeat or hopelessness, he'll be promoted. So there's the answer. And there's a mentality. If I develop a mentality, if I can't do it, then it must not be valuable. Or if I can't do it, then probably everyone else is faking it. Or if I can't do it, I should try to drag others down. This is a resentful mentality. But if someone's guileless and doesn't have this kind of mentality and appreciates that the principle is true, I'm just not able to follow it yet, and appreciates the fact that others are and that I'll be successful in the end if I continue, then such a person will be successful. This may be inconvenient, but I need the light of the Bhagavat. It's up in the top cabinet on the left. I know because I put it up there. I found a light of the Bhagavat, and I put it because they're not in print anymore. It's good to have. There's also a very encouraging purport in the light of the Bhagavat. Does everybody know this book? Prabhupada wrote this book before he came to America. It was for a conference in Japan that he got invited to, called the Cultivation of the Human Spirit. So he wrote this entire book getting ready, and he was trying to get money to go there, and it wasn't possible. No one would give him the money. He tried from the Indian government. He tried to get the Japanese to sponsor him, but he never got it. So this remained in manuscript form until after Prabhupada left, and then the devotees put it into a book form. Which verse are you singing? What were you singing? Which verse? Tatenu kampam sushamik shamano bunjana evatmurkitam vipakam hridvag bapurvir vididam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadaya bhag. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Here it is, text 43. Hold on to your chikas. Devotional service to the Lord never goes in vain. Just at the right moment, the result of one's particular devotional service will come, even if one has no desire for it. May I repeat that? Devotional service to the Lord never goes in vain. Just at the right moment, the result of one's particular devotional service will come, even if one has no desire for it. The pure devotees do not wish any return from the Lord in exchange for their service. They do not make business exchanges with the Lord, but the Lord, out of his own accord, fulfills all the desires of the devotee. It may appear that a devotee of the Lord is becoming poorer and poorer in terms of material prosperity, but factually he is not. The typical example is the Pandavas. The five brothers headed by King Yudhisthira underwent all sorts of difficulties because of the conspiracy of their cousins, headed by Duryodhan. In the long run, King Yudhisthira was enthroned by Lord Krishna, and his enemies were vanquished. King Yudhisthira was never disturbed by all the calamities that overcame them, even though Lord Krishna was ever their companion. The Pandavas never prayed to the Lord for anything but his devotional service, and in due time, everything came out in favor of the devotees. A devotee, therefore, should execute his devotional services with full energy, endurance, and confidence. He should perform his scheduled duties. He should be pure in heart, and he should serve in the association with devotees. All six of these items will lead the devotee to the path of success. One should not be discouraged in the discharge of devotional service. Failures may not be detrimental. They may be the pillars of success. One must have good faith in the regulative principles followed by the self-realized souls, and one should not be doubtful about the ultimate result of such devotional service. Rather, one must go on executing his prescribed duties without hesitation, and one should never be influenced by unwanted association. We should not consider going back to Godhead a plaything. We must take it seriously, as enjoined in the scriptures. For a strict follower, the result is sure and certain, and when the time is right, the result will come of its own force. May I read that again? For a strict follower, the result is sure and certain. When the time is right, the result will come of its own force. Dhruva Maharaj went to worship God to gain something, but when he actually came in contact with God, he did not want anything from the Lord. The Lord, however, awarded Dhruva Maharaj both benefits. That is, the Lord fulfilled his desires and also gave him eternal salvation. Such are the lessons we learn from all revealed scriptures. The Almighty God awards the results we desire, and therefore we should desire that which is eternal, blissful, and full of knowledge. In devotional service, we should not endeavor for that which is temporary and useless. Great encouragement in this purport, isn't it? Failures may not be detrimental. They may be the pillars to success. So, the second question you ask is, how does one become steady? And the answer is you have to act in the position you're in now. You can't artificially do anything. So you have to go from where you are now. I mean, the question is, how do I advance to the next stage? And the answer always is by acting in the stage I'm at now. until I come to the next stage. And in the beginning stage, there's unsteadiness, no doubt about it. But, well, Hare Krishna, Prashant just came back from Vrindavan. Haribo, welcome home. Hare Krishna. Jai Prashant Ji. Hare Krishna. Thank you for coming back. In the beginning of devotional service, we're going to have missteps. And oftentimes, it may look like it may be very inconvenient, it may be embarrassing, there may be consequences. There'll definitely be consequences. But if we don't become discouraged and we go on, those actually become pillars to our success. We learn as we go. And life is full of surprises. And we're taking the fruits of our past activities, and as we heard in the other purport, even when those are in the beginning, when they're eradicated by the Lord, the residue may still remain, and they may irritate us in some way. But nashta prayeshu bhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavatyutama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtaki. As we continue, they'll diminish more and more until it just becomes background music. It doesn't disturb us anymore. And then, no longer. And this is the process. It's a gradual, steady process. So there's another purport I'll read to you from the 9th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita. Because in the 30th verse of the 9th chapter, Krishna says, Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak sadureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hi sa. That means that, and this is Krishna speaking very emphatically, even if one commits the most abominable action, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated in his determination. That means there's the possibility of sadhus acting in ways which are unseemly because of past bad habits, things overcome devotees sometimes, situations, changes in life, transition. There are transitions in life which are inevitable when you change from one body to the next, from a child's body to a teenage body. Inevitably, there's transitions that take place there and desires that come up. And then changing into mid-age and into old age, there are all kinds of challenges. So in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has told Arjuna, Matra sparsha stakontaya shitoshna sukadukada agama paino nityas tamsta tikshashva bharata. You have to learn to tolerate those things. And tolerance may mean they're happening, they're going on, you can't stop it. You know, they're coming of their own force practically. But you have to tolerate it and go on with your devotional service. So how to go on in your devotional service, even if there's unsteadiness, is expressed in text 31. Shri Pram Bhavati Dharmatma Shashvach Chantim Nigachati Kauntiya Pratijanihi Nami Bhakti Pranashati. The translation and purport. He quickly becomes righteous and attains lasting peace. O son of Kunti, declare it boldly that my devotee never perishes. Purport. This should not be misunderstood. In the 7th chapter, the Lord says that one who is engaged in mischievous activities cannot become a devotee of the Lord. One who is not a devotee of the Lord has no good qualifications whatsoever. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? I'll repeat the sentence. The question remains then, how can a person engaged in abominable activities, either by accident or by intention, be a pure devotee? This question may justly be raised. The miscreants, as stated in the 7th chapter, who never come to the devotional service of the Lord, have no good qualifications, as it is stated in the Srimad Bhagavatam. Generally, a devotee who is engaged in the 9 kinds of devotional activities is engaged in the process of cleansing all material contamination from the heart. He puts the Supreme Personality of Godhead within his heart, and all sinful contaminations are naturally washed away. Continuous thinking of the Supreme Lord makes him pure by nature. According to the Vedas, there is a certain regulation that if one falls down from his exalted position, he has to undergo certain ritualistic processes to purify himself. But here there is no such contradiction. But here there is no such condition because the purifying process is already there in the heart of the devotee due to his remembering the Supreme Personality of Godhead constantly. Therefore, the chanting of the Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, should be continued without stoppage. This will protect a devotee from all accidental fall downs. He will thus remain perpetually free from all material contaminations. May I have the Sri Upanishad? I have one more section to enter into evidence before we have our summation and concluding statements in this courtroom, which will be given by His Grace Rasikananda Prabhu himself, who asked the question. Okay, so the next purport, thank you, is from the 17th mantra of the Sri Upanishad. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses in this way. Which verses? He's referring to the verse that I just quoted from the Bhagavad Gita. Api chet sudaracharo bhajate mam ananya bhak. Sadhureva samantavya samyag vyavasito hisa. Even if one commits the most abominable activities, if he is engaged in devotional service, he is to be considered saintly because he is properly situated. Purport. This is an excerpt. It's way into the purport of Mantra 17. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains these verses in this way. One should regard a devotee of Krishna to be on the right path of the saints. Even though such a devotee may seem to be sudarachara, a person of loose character, one should try to understand the real purport of the word sudarachara. A conditioned soul has to act for double functions, namely for the maintenance of the body and again for self-realization. Social status, mental development, cleanliness, austerity, nourishment, and the struggle for existence are all for the maintenance of the body. The self-realization part of one's activities is executed in one's occupation as a devotee of the Lord, and one performs actions in that connection also. One must perform these two different functions along parallel lines, because a conditioned soul cannot give up the maintenance of his body. The proportion of activities for maintenance of the body decreases, however, in proportion to the increase in devotional service. As long as the proportion of devotional service does not come to the right point, there is a chance for an occasional exhibition of worldliness. But it should be noted that such worldliness cannot continue for long, because by the grace of the Lord, such imperfections will come to an end very shortly. Therefore, the path of devotional service is the only right path. If one is on the right path, even an occasional occurrence of worldliness does not hamper one in the advancement of self-realization. Okay, from all the evidence that we've heard, could you please give a summation?
Krishna is very kind.
Haribo! That's good. That was concise. It's a sutra. Krishna is very kind. Yeah, that's true. So Krishna is all-powerful, and he's very kind. So padamulam bhajata priyasya tyaktanya bhavasa hari pareshaha vikarma yachchot patitam katanchit dhunoti sarvam hridi sannivishtaha. This Karabhajana Muni in the 11th canto of the Bhagavatam says that Krishna is very kind, and he's also all-powerful. And therefore, if one is taken to the path of bhakti, which is the direct process, it's the Bhagavat Marg, then there's no possibility of not being successful. In fact, earlier in the chapter, one of the Yogendras says, if one runs in devotional service with one's eyes closed, he will not trip and fall. Why? Because Krishna is protecting him. And this verse says that Vikarma yach chotpatitam katanchit tunoti sarvam hridi sannivishta. For the devotee whose tendency is, or whose intention is to surrender to Krishna, for that devotee, and Krishna knows our intention, that's the thing. He knows our intention. For the person whose intention is to surrender to Krishna, Krishna makes up for everything. He's very kind. Vikarma yach chotpatitam katanchit, even if sometimes accidentally there's some vikarma in one's practice, if one's intention is to serve Krishna, chaitanya bhavasya means his bhava, his feeling in his heart is to give up everything for Krishna, but he can't do it. But that's his bhava, that's his intention, that's his feeling. Then Krishna knows it and he makes up for it. He erases the vikarma, the reactions to that vikarma, and he mercifully allows the devotee to go on and make advancement in devotional service. So Krishna is very kind. And so the advice here is that we should be steady in devotional service. We should expect that there's going to be some rocking of the boat, because in the beginning of anything, you're bad at it before you get good at it, and you have to be patient. And if you're patient and you're non-envious and you don't resent the principle, and you just live your life out. Just live your life out as a devotee and stick to it no matter what position you find yourself in. Bali Maharaj was bound up by the ropes of Vasuki and couldn't move. But he just, what could he do? But his head was there, so he kept his head out for the Lord to take that. So sometimes we may be completely tied down. We may feel like we can't move and we have no facility. But we always have facility somehow to surrender ourselves to the Lord and put ourselves out, no matter what situation we're in, put ourselves out and available for the Lord in whatever capacity we can. And Krishna will give us facility. And we won't know also the extent of the advancement in devotional service that we've made until it's completely revealed to us. Prabhupada makes that point in this book also about how the full extent of his mercy won't be realized until you leave this mortal body anyway. But you should have full faith that it's there. Anything else? Yes, Banabada Prabhu.
One thing stuck in my mind when you were reading from Light of the Bhagavat, where Srila Prabhupada says one shouldn't be adversely affected by unfavorable association, I think something like that. And it just reminded me how he says that faith is created by the association of devotees. And also something else came into my mind where somewhere in the Bhagavad Gita, I think, Prabhupada mentions that Krishna's determination is actual fact. That when Krishna desires to do something, it automatically takes place. So since Krishna ultimately is the doer and we're engaging in devotional service, and that devotional service is also non-different from Krishna, therefore, you know, gradually, you know, as we associate with devotees, as we perform a devotional service, gradually the will of the Lord is executed through our activities. And but like you say, you know, sometimes it's, you know, it seems circumstances come, like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur was saying there too, and the Prabhupada says in the Bhagavad Gita, we have our maintenance activities for our body, and then we have our devotional activities that are running on parallel lines, but sometimes those lines can cross, and at those times it seems that the Lord is very far away. And so that was very nice hearing that verse from one of the Navayogendras, how even if one, what is that, how does that go?
If you run with your eyes closed, you will never trip and fall on the Bhagavat mark. Thank you very much, Bhana Prabhu.
Thank you.
Any last reflections? Unfortunately, yes. Arpit.
Prabhuji, this this point about Shipram Bhavati Dharmatma, and also before that verse, Apichet Surudracharo. So here we hear, Lord is telling that a person who is engaged in devotional service, even though he accidentally might commit some mistake, is still to be considered a dharmatma, or he's still to be considered a sadhu. In this regard, one may get the feeling that because I am a devotee and I am chanting, therefore I have a certain degree of freedom to commit sinful activity. I'm essentially referring to the seventh offense to the holy name, to commit sinful activity on the holy name, on the strength of the holy name. So, is such a person also to be considered a sadhu? And that's my first question, that if the person who actually thinks like this, that because I'm a devotee and I have certain degree of freedom to cross the limits and commit some sinful activities, that a person can come considered to be a sadhu?
Before you ask the second question, because it's a kind of a subtle, detailed question, can I answer the first one first?
Sure, Prabhuji.
Okay. The answer is that we have, not only do we have to chant without stoppage, but we have to also carefully guard against offenses in chanting. Otherwise, we can go on for millions of years and not get the result of the chanting. And is someone still a devotee if one develops the improper mentality about committing sinful activities while chanting? And the answer is that, yes, one can still be considered a devotee because that may be part of the process of reformation. In other words, if somebody's chanting Hare Krishna and develops that mentality, as we've heard from the previous verses, Krishna may rectify him in some ways. In other words, part of my progress or being unsteady is that I may drift into that kind of mentality. But Krishna is very expert at rectifying those kind of mistakes in the devotee. That if I think that I can commit sinful activities, I have some liberty, then Krishna is so merciful that he may scare us straight or create some situation that we realize will come to grips with the fact that I had incorrect mentality and can become corrected. So in the process of devotional service, I mean, guarding against the offenses doesn't mean that we never commit them. It means that when we do commit those offenses, when we do develop that mentality that I'm committing sin, I may have developed an idea that, oh, I have some liberty to do something because I'm a devotee, and then Krishna will correct us, then coming back to the straight path, always coming back. That's the point. Because it also is related to the question, what's the difference between an accidental fall down and an intentional fall down? Who knows the answer to that? Krishna does. Because actually, Prabhupada answered it once, because it's a frequently asked question, because it's very subtle. You know, what's the difference between an intentional fall down and an accidental fall down? Prabhupada said, if they come back, it was accidental. Didn't say when if they come back. But somebody might, you know, fall down and come back 20 years later. It was an accident. They come back, you know, 100 years later. It was an accident. If they come back, it was an accident, he said. So Krishna's very liberal. And what does it mean if someone's taken to the path of devotional service that progress is never lost? I mean, he may get some tyaktva sadharmam charanam bhujanam harer bhajana paktvo patet tato yadi. He may become patet or fallen after he took to it because he was immature. He developed some improper mentality and go away, but the progress is not lost. He'll take to it later. He can bring back to it. However, having said that, it's the duty of the devotee, it's the particular qualification of the devotee to be vigilant, to guard against that mentality of taking advantage of Krishna's mercy. Specifically, that's the qualification, that he always feels that he doesn't want to take advantage of that and commit sinful activities on the strength of chanting. So we should be vigilant. The second one?
And Prabhuji, this... this tendency to again lapse into our old habits or sinful propensities. In this regard,
please move up, everybody. By this will be a drastic move, maybe by one full foot. Thank you very much. Plenty of room. Please come in. Okay, R. Prabhu, go ahead.
Yes, Prabhuji. So this tendency to lapse into our old sinful propensity. So I wanted to ask whether in this regard it is recommended to be more inclined, we should be more serious about our sadhana, which essentially constitutes our chanting and reading and hearing Bhagavatam class, or should we be more inclined towards doing the services that we like? Why I'm asking this question is like kind of practical, because we sometimes want to do our services more. There are different kind of devotees, and some devotees like to chant and hear more. So should we give preference to the things that we like more in devotional service, or should we do as instructed by our superiors?
For the initiated devotees or those who are aspiring to be initiated, Prabhupada was very strong on this point and emphasized that one should dutifully finish his or her 16 rounds every day. And when devotees asked about, I'm doing service all day long, Prabhupada re-emphasized, first finish your 16 rounds. It's your first duty. So that's our first and most important sadhana, is to finish our 16 rounds. And we should consider it to be the most important instruction. Prabhupada also emphasized that if we don't hear and chant properly, then gradually we'll lose our enthusiasm for service. In one class he was giving in Mayapur, some devotees were getting up and walking out. And at the time in the class, Prabhupada was talking about ugra karma. Everyone knows what ugra karma is. It means working in horrible conditions like factories or something, the kind of work that goes on typically in Kali Yuga. And as the devotees were walking out, Prabhupada said, where are you going? To do some ugra karma. He said, if you don't hear and chant properly, then you'll eventually give up your service and you won't be able to serve properly. So there has to be a balance. One should be dedicated to one's sadhana, especially chanting 16 rounds, because the entire impetus to serve and realize that I'm not the body comes from our following that instruction and actually associating with Krishna through his holy name. Harinam, Harinam, Harinam eva kevalam, kalo nastevanas, devanas deva gatiranyata. We have to have that every day. And anyone who thinks that he or she is immune to that and that it's okay, well, the second I think that, then I'm on the downward slide, because Maya is always waiting. As soon as I develop the mentality, in fact, what you asked before, that I have some lenient, because I'm a devotee, because I'm chanting, it's okay for me to be a little bit lax in something, then Maya will capture us. It's partly Krishna's mercy. Maya's there to keep out the insincere people and also to make the devotees stronger and test them to see who's coming to bother Krishna. The whole essence of that verse we chant every Saturday morning from the Brahma Samhita, Dikpalai Paritovratam, Shaimar Gorashta Raktaisha, Shuklashta Barshadarsha, by talking about all these tridents and all these different kinds of protecting barriers before you get into the spiritual world. It's there to keep out the insincere people. You can't get in. So you have to have balance. Do your sadhana and do your service. That's the best. Otherwise, we've seen over history, even in ISKCON, I've seen in my lifetime that devotees, may take up their service very seriously and then neglect chanting. And then over time, they forget why they're serving. And then they think, well, I'll go do something else. Like, I'll go, you know, I'll get into, instead of selling books, maybe I'll sell gum, or sounds just about as good. Or I'll go sell real estate or something like that. You know, they forget the importance. So we have to have that infusion and direct contact with chanting, hearing Krishna's names every day. So balance is very important. And we should be in the association of devotees, and we should also have proper guidance. If we don't know which path to take and how to balance, we should talk to devotees who are advanced and ask them. Have a Rolodex with some names on it of devotees who are advanced and steady in their service, and take some opinions and say, you know, please give me your advice. I'm going through this right now. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru. And if you talk to sadhus, Prabhupada once said something, I can't remember the exact quote, but it's if you have a question or something like that, burning question, if you ask seven Brahmins, qualified Brahmins or something, you should be able to come out with the answer. I do this all the time. There was some dispute about Ekadashi and how to follow it exactly, and what the subtle mood, how Prabhupada followed it compared to like how some other people follow it. So I wrote a lot of devotees that I know who served Prabhupada and who spent time with him, and they all wrote back their answers to me. And after I read all their answers, about seven or eight answers, I had a very clear idea about exactly the mood Prabhupada followed Ekadashi, and I didn't have any more question about it. So we should, be careful to perform our sadhana, and if we have questions about how to balance our service, we should take help from advanced devotees, and in that way move forward in a confident way. Did that answer your question? Okay. So now we've come to the end of this particular part of our program. I just wanted to say how wonderful it is to see all of you on this nice rainy night. Hare Krishna. Thanks for coming out. And so we'll continue on. Now we'll get up in an efficient manner. We'll put away all the books, and then we'll have an artik ceremony. And after that, we'll have more chanting. And we'll have prasadam, and then we'll have more chanting after that, and then everyone can go home and have their own chanting and dream about Krishna, wake up to your service and continue chanting. And in this way, we go on hearing and chanting and staying in contact with Krishna constantly. We don't know when we're going to leave our body. We don't know when others around us are going to leave their body also. We should also take for granted even one breath that we have. It's Krishna's mercy that we have been given this human form of life. Take full advantage. And also, the ones that are around us that we're so attached to, you know, there are God brothers and others, devotees that we're very attached to, we shouldn't take for granted that they'll be here tomorrow either. So when we see the devotees, we should get everything we can from them, and give everything we can to them while we can. Tell them how you feel about them. Do service to the devotees while you can, because they may not be here tomorrow. We can be parted in any way. We're completely at the mercy of the Lord, and we're at the mercy of how the jagat is moving. Eternal time is all powerful. So let's take full advantage at every minute, not just while we're here, but every second of time that we have available. Stay in contact with the vibration of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram. This is authorized. It's coming from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and if we do it, then everything in our life will become auspicious, perfect. We'll have good intelligence also. Keep the vibration going. Even when we're doing our service, we should cultivate keeping the vibration going, because then we won't think we're the doer. If you're cooking, if you're cleaning, if you're doing deity worship, or you're doing sankirtan, distributing books, remember Krishna. Remember he's the one who's behind everything, and keep the vibration going constantly. Goprimanande Haribo, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavad Gita ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Light of the Bhagavad ki jai, Sri Upanishad ki jai, Goprimanande Hare Krishna.